Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. I've never seen such excitement in all my life. In addition to all the excitement, I want you to know that I had to get behind the refrigerator there today because my friend Kevin brought me some food from Pakistan, Pakistanian food. He didn't bring it all the way from Pakistan, but he made it here in the United States and brought it over from, what, Spring. I think that's where y'all live. And he was born in Pakistan and has been coming to our services here. We're quite excited about having he and the family. I think that was one of the ones that was excited a moment ago. In fact, they do something that you folks don't do, and that is when they get ready to leave, the children cry because they don't want to leave. You folks cry to leave. Not really. My wife says not really. Well, she knows I'm joking. And, well, this has been a wonderful day, hasn't it? And I appreciate Dennis and this presentation. Some of you folks had to go home and get cameras and come back and take pictures. And so this has been unique, and we appreciate. We don't get to have this type of a service very often, and so we're glad that you were here and we were able to have this experience today. If you'll turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. We see this verse on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of your bulletin. Just before we begin our study, I'd like to ask you, if you will, to join me, please, in a moment of silent prayer. The purpose of this prayer, of course, as always, is to be sure that we turn our attention away from the things of the world, the distractions that may be ours, and focus our minds again upon the eternal truths of God's Word. This is a fantastic verse of Scripture. How wonderful it is for us to study God's Word. And so we're going to pray together before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we're your children. We're saved by your matchless grace. We are blessed so tremendously. And we're thankful today that we are privileged to look again into your Word. Your Word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the opportunity to turn our attention away from other things and focus our minds upon this magnificent passage. Help us to appreciate what we have here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. James 1:12 says, "Happy is the man, contented is the man, who doesn't give in or do wrong when he is tempted. For afterwards he will get as his reward the crown of life that God has promised those who love him." In the time that we have today, I want to ask you, if you will, please, to look at the last part of verse 12. The first part we've already looked at, Makarios, Anar. We've looked at that, blessed or blessedness, happiness, contented is the man. I didn't point out the fact, but I need to do it now, that the word here for man is not anthropos. It is not the word that you see a lot of times in the Greek New Testament. It is the word aner, A-N-E-R, which is the word which means a noble man. And I would be convinced of the fact that any person who advances to the point that he has the ability to utilize and be successful in the midst of temptation, that person, of course, is described as a noble person. blessed, happy, contented is the one who endures temptation. Then the rest of the verse continues here with because having become approved. We've already looked at that for just a little bit, but we're going to move on now to the last part of the verse, which says he will receive the crown of life. We're going to stop on that word crown there. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to look carefully either at the back of your bulletin or on the screen, and let's see what the word is. I will read the letters of the Greek to you. It is the Greek word S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-N. Through the years, I've been pronouncing that Stephanon, and I've just realized that it's probably better pronounced Stephanon. Instead of Stephanon, Stephanon. Or anyway, whatever you want to say is okay with me. S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-N. The question is asked about the word crowns in the Bible. And someone said, are there five crowns presented in the Bible? Are there four crowns presented in the Bible? And I have to tell you, and I want to do this right at the outset, that someone looked this up and they studied the subject of crowns. And they said, the best way I found to attack the problem of crowns in the Bible is to realize that there are many times that the word crown is used. I found three references to a crown of gold in Exodus 39:30, in Psalm 21:3. So we have three references to crown of gold. There's also six crowns that are called, six references to the crown of glory. So you might want to write six references to the crown of glory. Proverbs 4:9, Proverbs 16:31. There are others. This particular theologian said, I found one crown of her husband in Proverbs 12:4. I was amazed that the word crown was used in that many different ways, because all the time that I've studied crowns, it's been this particular word and the other word which is used in the Greek New Testament, which is the word diadem. But I was interested in seeing this. Then this theologian said, I found two crowns called the crowns of pride. This is an improper use of the word crown, not that it is, in other words, it's about something that we should not be doing, Isaiah 28:1, the crown of pride. There's a crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, if you want to write that one down. There's the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8. There is in this passage, and this is where we're going to spend our time today, the crown of life. So, various words used in the Scripture. The word crown of life here is a crown of life as a reward for those who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. For those believers who endure trials and tribulations and severe suffering, even to the point of death. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verses 8 and following, there's a reference to the crown of that even leads to death. Jesus says that he will give this crown to those who undergo severe hardship, testing, tribulation, or even physical death on his behalf. And that's Revelation chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. I would encourage you to write that passage down, not that we'll take the time now to look it up, but Revelation 2, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So Jesus says that he will give this crown, the crown of life, to those who undergo severe hardship, testing, tribulation, or even physical death on his behalf. Probably being willing to die for your faith in God would be, of course, an ultimate sacrifice. It is the greatest act of courage and love that you can show God. Christians who have been martyred for their faith throughout history will not only be given this crown of life, but they'll be given other rewards once they enter into heaven. God the Father will honor each one's trials and tribulations, and thus will be rewarding them accordingly. And that's what we have specifically in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days, Revelation 2:10 says. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Our verse of scripture, James 1:12, is unique. James ends this section with a beatitude, or what I would call God's definition of contentment. Blessedness means, as we've already said, happiness, to be supremely blessed, to have a calm satisfaction, to be at ease. James says we can have an inward happiness that is not dependent upon outside circumstances. And I want to stop right there and repeat that statement. James is telling us here by the Spirit of God that we can have an inward happiness that is not dependent upon any outside circumstances or events. Happiness does not come from never having any trials, but in having victory even when we face the trials of life. One who stands up alone is what this verse is actually saying when they're tested. In other words, this passage of Scripture says happiness, contentment, goes to the person who stands his ground when temptations and trials and tests come each day. The reason that you and I can be happy and contented is because God is using sometimes adverse circumstances to advance us and to mature us. And this we should know, and in this we should rejoice. Another reason why a believer can find happiness in trials and testing is that the Scripture says that there will come a day when we will be the recipient of rewards for our faithfulness. The crown of life. The crown of life here is not speaking about eternal life. It is speaking about rewards. This pictures a victorious Greek runner who is rewarded with a wreath or a crown being placed on his head. Many of you have heard, and we've studied this in the past, that the word crown is interesting in the fact that it's used uniquely in the Scripture. Crown is described as a mark of exalted rank. The wreath or garland, which was given as a prize to victors in public games. It's interesting to see, and I've written this down, the crown of life is one of four that are available in the Scripture. There's one, the crown of exaltation. You want to write this one down? The crown of exaltation. It is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. It's awarded to those who lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those who not only help people be saved, but help them to grow in advance. And it's called the crown of exaltation in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. Secondly, there's the crown of righteousness. It's found in 2 Timothy 4, 8. It's given to Christians who expect that the Lord is coming back at any time, and they live with that thought in mind, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, 8. Thirdly, there's a list. On the list is the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 4. 1 Peter 5, 4 is a passage of Scripture that various theologians discuss. And some say this is true and some say it is not true. I've always thought it was true until I began to read some of them saying, well, it's not always that way. It's interesting when people say that, but I want to read what it says and then let you know why people are questioning that. The list on the list is the crown of glory that is given to those who shepherd the church, the pastors and the pastor teachers, the leaders. And so there's an emphasis then upon a special reward that goes to the person who has the responsibility of doing what I do, and that is loving you and training and giving you out the good news of the Word of God. And some people say, oh, that's not the way it is. But I'm not going to argue with that. If that's the way they want to feel, that's okay with me. I'm going to accept the fact that the Lord does have a special place for the faithful communicator of God's Word in relationship to an honor. It's an honor for me to be able to stand here and for these 60 years now to do just that, to communicate God's Word. No greater honor than that. And whether I ever get any rewards or not is not the issue. The issue is that my rewards come every time I stand here and every time I see you sitting quietly and listening and learning and advancing and growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, there's the crown of life. In our passage of Scripture here, James 1:12, James makes a reference. It is a reward that is given to those who endure to the end. Jesus told those people in the church at Smyrna, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." It's interesting to see what all is said about this crown. I have various types of information that I've received and have studied over a period of time. The term crown, for instance, comes from an athletic term rather than from a royal realm. It was a wreath of victory. God gives permanent rewards to those who endure trials in a way that meets God's approval. Let me give you in these closing moments some special scripture in relationship to what the scripture teaches about crowns. In 1 Thessalonians 2, and I repeat, 19 and 20, what is our hope, our joy, our crown? This crown in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 is called the crown of rejoicing. Let's spend a moment there. Is it not even you in presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20 talks about the crown of rejoicing at the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. Think with me for a moment. What if the rapture occurred before we leave here, before our time to leave here today? What if the rapture would occur? Boy, you talk about things happening rapidly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be caught out of this auditorium. It's amazing to me when I go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says there that the Lord does not desire for the Thessalonians to be ignorant about these things. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those which remain and are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What's going to happen is that the dead in Christ, the bodies, come forth. Those of us which remain, caught up, changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this verse of Scripture says, what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of His coming? For you, the Scripture says, for the Lord, you are our glory and our joy. There's also the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8, write it down, please. There is the crown of righteousness. The Scripture says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. There's the crown of glory. We repeated this several times. I want to be sure that you have this down. The crown of glory. It says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That's found in 1 Peter 5:4. And then our passage of Scripture here in James 1:12. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, Revelation 2:10, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. Be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's look for just a few moments now at the last part of this verse. The one is approved. The one who has been enduring, who has been true and faithful to God in the midst of great temptation, but he's been approved. This person will receive the crown of life. It's a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those loving him. Would you look with me just for a moment at the words loving him? What is that word? The last word is a personal pronoun there, auton, which means of him. But the word loving is the one I want you to see. It's a present active participle, genitive, masculine, plural, of agapao. Agape is the Greek noun for love. The verb is agapao, which you see on the screen. A-G-A-P-A-O. Please notice how the word is used in the original text. It is saying here that there will be a crown. A crown of life promised by our Lord to those who, present tense, keep on loving him. Do you see it? What is our responsibility? It's to keep on loving him. He loved us. He died for us. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave. He ascended. He sits at the Father's right hand to make intercession for us. He loves us. He cares for us. What's our responsibility? It's to keep on loving him. Who does that? Who does that for me? Do you do it for me? No. Do I do it for you? No. This is personal. This is individual. It's very, very personal. No one can do this for you but you. That's the reason why it says, active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb. Why do I harp on these various aspects of the Greek verbs or participles? It's because of the meaning here. It says, no one. You can't do it for your husband. Your husband can't do it for you. You really cannot do it for your children, though you may guide them and direct them. But it's an individual matter. Each person has to do it. And he's promised us a crown, it says, the crown of life. To those who, what? Keep on loving him. What's my job? What's my responsibility? It's to love you. How do I love you? Do I follow you around and try to help you or guide you? No. I love you by standing here and opening this book and telling you what this book says about God and God's thinking and the work of Jesus Christ. And when I do that, I produce the action of the verb, and you then have the responsibility of loving him. You produce the action of the verb by continually loving him. That's our responsibility. That's your responsibility. And the participle is emphasizing the circumstances. A promise is something that God announces openly and that he will emphatically fulfill what he says he will do. In other words, we can count on this. We can hold him to his promise. And that's not being mean. God has too much integrity to break his promise. And he said, if we love him and keep on loving him, you can put it down. He's going to give to us, and I don't understand all this, he's going to give to us one of these days the crown of life. It's a crown of life, which each believer will receive, because God, through Jesus Christ, has promised this to everyone who loves him. Now, do you think I have anything else to say about crowns? I haven't even started. Does God want us to be bitter or better? Wednesday night we're going to talk about being bitter or better. And it comes right back to this verse of Scripture and the last part of it. And it's time for us to go. You've listened so beautifully, so well. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. The last thing I have to say is to the person who hears this message by way of the internet. Our Lord has said, I love you. And I was willing to go to the cross and die for you. And I will save you if you'll trust me. You have to do this yourself. You have to make a decision. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He didn't say, I'm some life. He says, I am the way, the life, the truth. No one comes to the Father, God, except through me, Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to trust Him if you haven't already done that. Do it now, please. Not for my sake, but for your sake. You'll be happy. You'll be contented. You'll be pleased. You'll have a joy that cannot be described when you know without a doubt that you are heaven-bound. Father, thank you so much today for salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.